Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servants, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hebrews 11:1. Okay, church, can we read together? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can we read that again? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things we cannot see. I'm going to read it again. Faith assures us of things we expect and convinces us of the things we cannot see. Now let's take note of the word expect there. Now quickly let's read Proverbs 23 verse 18 together. Proverbs 23:18. It's a popular scripture. Everybody knows it. Proverbs 23 verse 18. Now we're going to read that in King James Version. Proverbs 23:18. Okay, can we read together, church? It says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Remember in God's Word Version in Hebrews 11:1, we read that faith assures us of things that we expect. Now we are seeing in Proverbs 23:18, it says, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Now, third scripture. Proverbs 10 verse 24. Proverbs 10:24. Very similar. Similar scripture. Proverbs 10:24. It says, is this King James? Okay, yes. Can we read together? It says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Hallelujah. Now, as we know, our month of prayers and fasting is gradually approaching. I think we just have about a week now. Hallelujah. And Pastor Gbenga, the prophet over this house, has decreed over that month, or he has themed the month of July, the month of prayers and fasting, as Bethesda, which is called the House of Mercy. The House of Mercy. I know Pastor Gbenga has said another interesting thing. That we're going to be praying every day. You know, we're going to be praying between 6 and 7 p.m. every day. And we're also going to come back later and then pray between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m. strictly in the spirit. So it's a month of prayers and fasting, actually. And really, why am I even talking about that? I would tell you what my topic is. Actually, I think you can guess what my topic is already from the three scriptures we read. But first, let's go to our anchor scripture for that month. That's John, where Bethesda is, or where the word Bethesda is. That's John chapter 5. John chapter 5 from verse 1. I'll read here, don't worry. It says, and after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, we're introduced into a place in Jerusalem called Bethesda. As we all know, is the House of Mercy. And we're told that in that place what's actually caught my attention? I mean, there are a lot of things that caught my attention about this scripture. But firstly, the scripture here describes the multitude there as great. You know, you come across some places in the scripture where it says, and there were many people there. You come across other places in the scripture where they said, there were great people. You come across another place in scripture where it says, it was multitude. And here, it describes the multitude as great. So we're not talking about 100 people. We're not talking about 1,000 people. We're talking about, you know, thousands, 10,000s upon thousands of people. And not just that. It also says that in this place, this Bethesda, right, the house of mercy, there was also a lot of people there. So we saw people with different ailments, different diseases or sicknesses. It says we had impotent folk, blind halts, without think of any situation whatsoever. That was like their camping ground and all that. Another thing that caught my attention was the fact that these people were waiting for the moving of the water. Now, my topic is the need for expectations. That's actually my topic. The need for expectations. Now, these guys here were expecting something. They were waiting for something, right? They were expecting something. And the Bible says they were waiting for the moving of the water. They were waiting for an angel to come down at a certain season. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what season this was and all that, but these guys were just waiting. Peradventure, the angel will come at a certain time to trouble the water, and then they will be healed. That's what they were waiting for. So they were expectant. I believe that these guys were expectant. You know, I don't know. I take public transport and all that. And I don't know if you've been in a situation where you're running late for work, and you are at a bus stop, and there are many people there. And for some reason that day, there is no bus. I don't know how many of us have been in that situation. I've been in that situation so many times. Now, in that situation, you can tell who is Ajebo and who is Ajepako. Now, me, I classify myself as Ajebo. I don't struggle with things and things like that. But at that situation, because I'm running late for work, I will struggle. And I'm trying to picture what was happening here using that scenario and all that. You see so many people struggling to enter inside the bus. And, you know, they said the multitude was great and these people were expecting something. And again, let me just say, because when Jesus met that man, he's still asking the man. That man was saying, I have nobody to put me inside the water. By the time I'm about to jump in, somebody else has already gotten in. I know we're told that it's the first person that gets in that water that gets healed. And then you have to wait again for another season for the angel to come and trouble the water before the next person. So you can imagine the struggle and the desperation of these people and all that. And, you know, I have a theory that is it possible that it's the first person that got into the water that was the most expectant person? It's just a theory. I can't prove it. It's not in the Bible. Just me. So I'm going to tell us a few things about expectation. I just wanted us to look at that, our anchor scripture for the month of July. Firstly, number one, expectation is not just a prayer point. And I'm going to explain myself better. And I'm not against you having prayer points or prayer requests. Expectation is beyond having a prayer point. It's beyond having a prayer request. There are some things that we did in school. I did it. Where we write our prayer points on a sheet of paper. Or prayer request on a sheet of paper. And you tell yourself, I'm writing a letter to God. Or the one I actually did was that I'll put it inside a very popular scripture in the Bible. Like Matthew 7:7, for example. And I say, I know that God will visit me. Because the Bible says, ask and we shall receive. I'm not against that. I'm trying to emphasize expectation here. What accompanies expectation. And I believe that if your expectation is not accompanied with a thirst for something, with a desire, with a hunger for something, with a desire for something, I think that expectation is weak. Why am I even talking about expectation? Because I don't want us to go into the month of July, our prayers and fasting, casually, or in a way that you don't even have anything to ask of God. Just say, let me go in. God knows what I want. He knows what I need before I talk, or before I say Jesus. You know how people say. Let's not go into this month of prayers and fasting in a very casual way. The Bible did not say that the quietness of the righteous shall not be cut off. It says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. So we are to go into the month of July and the month of prayers and fasting with great expectations. If you have low expectations, why not raise them? Another, let me continue. And again, let me even speak like Peter, because we've been dealing with Peter, 2 Peter 1, from verse 1 to 5 of recent. Pastor Gwenga has really done an awesome job and all that. So I would say that to your expectation, add thirst, because there are levels that we are dealing with here. To your thirst, add hunger. And then to that hunger, add a strong desire. Proverbs 10:24 says that the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Now let me move to my second point. And this one, I'm going to stay on it for a while. Your prayers will mean nothing if you do not have expectations. That might sound funny, but I'm still going to say it again. Your prayers in the month of July, if you do not have expectations, if you don't have anything that you're desirous of, if you don't have anything that you're requesting from God, so to speak, your prayers will mean nothing. You will probably just remain the same. Don't expect God to do anything for you, because it's that expectation that will be granted, not your quietness. You see, a woman that is not pregnant, right, cannot go into the hospital and say she's due. I mean, that sounds very absurd. And then if she wants to even make matters worse, she starts arguing with them. Can't you see that I'm due? My tummy is big. And the next thing they will tell her is that it's like, we need to take this woman to Yaba Lefto, because we can't see anything and all that. It's the same way. If you're not pregnant with expectations going into the month of July, your prayers will virtually mean nothing. You can pray more than, you know, there's a way Paul said it. He said, I thank God because I pray more than ye all. So in other words, Paul prayed more than the Corinthian church, all of them joined together. Now you can pray more than Harvest World Assembly joined together. You can pray more than Pastor Gwenga and all the pastors and everybody in Harvest World Assembly, both Maryland, Gbagada and Lekki, all together. If you do not have expectations, nothing will happen. Nothing absolutely will happen. And we're going to read a few scriptures there. Like I said, I'm going to stay on this point for a while. The first scripture I would like to read, or I'd like us to read, is 1 Kings 18, from verse 41. 1 Kings 18 and verse 40, or from verse 41. Scripture says, I'll read here. It says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So this was what Elijah was expecting. He said there's a sound of abundance of rain. 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. So Elijah began to pray and said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Elijah had decreed and said, there's a sound of abundance of rain. And he began to pray. You see, Elijah he didn't just pray alone, but he sent his servant. The first time, he told the servant, he said, go and look. The servant came back and said, there's nothing. Elijah said, this is not what I'm expecting. Go and look again. The second time, the guy came back and said, there's nothing. I can't see anything. Elijah said, like, you're not understanding me. There is an expectation here, and it's the sound of abundance of rain. And he told the man to go back the third time. The fourth time, the man came back, he said, there's nothing. The fifth time, he said, there's nothing. The sixth time, up until the 7th time before the guy came back and said, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. And that was what Elijah was expecting. And he said, go and tell Ahab to prepare his chariot. Elijah was not just praying. There was something that he was expecting. Hallelujah. Do not go into the month of prayers and fasting without an expectation. Be pregnant for something. Let God know that your stomach is big, so to speak. The next scripture that I would like to read, or I'd like us to read, is Mark 11, verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Like I said, I'm staying on this point for quite a while. Mark 11, 24. I want us to look at this scripture, because there's a way we read it. And I want us to read it with all of the punctuation marks in there. I think we have about 3 commas in there. Okay. It says, therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, that's where we read that scripture. But again, let's look at it. It says, therefore, I say unto you, there's a comma. What things soever ye desire. Now, there's a comma there as well. When ye pray, comma, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. What comes first here? Okay, therefore I say unto you. What comes first after that? It says, what things soever ye desire. It didn't say, when ye pray, whatsoever things ye desire. No. It says, what things soever ye desire, that comes first. Bring your desires to God first. And then when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, he said, he that comes to God must come believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you are coming to God, you have to come with a perspective. You have to come with a mentality that God rewards those that seek him. He says, what things soever ye desire. So you are coming to God with an expectation. You don't come without it and expect that God knows what you need. And then, I don't know, he's going to provide it at the end of the day. No, come to God with a desire. Come to God with an expectation. Acts 3:1-8. Another scripture there. Acts 3:1-8. From verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now we had a man here that was lame from his mother's womb. The Bible describes him as a man. It means that, this ailment was for a long time and all. And then when the man, I would think that if you're not well or something, or if you have a long standing ailment, right, the first thing, or what should be at the top of your head, should be healing. But you see, this man was begging and all that. And you see, I would like to even say something at this point. Because it's possible that this man had misplaced expectation or had no expectations whatsoever for his healing as to why he was begging. He had come to terms with that situation and was like, since I've been here anyway, since my mother's womb, let me just remain in this condition forever. There's nothing that can happen. And so I would like to even say at this point that you should not let any long-standing ailment in your life, it doesn't matter the number of years that you've been through it, whether it is 5 years, whether it is 10 years, 20 years, you have been in that situation, you have been in that job, and you've been trusting God for a change, and then maybe nothing is happening. Or there's this thing that doctor said, this is a life ailment or something like that. Do not allow those things affect what you desire of God. Do not allow those things affect your expectations. Do not allow those things to quench your thirst, to quench your hunger. That's what this man was doing. He had come to terms with it. Don't come to terms with that situation. No. The Bible says the expectation, he said, your expectation shall not be cut off. That's what the Bible says. The desire of the righteous shall surely be granted. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. That's the word of God. The desire of the righteous. And who is the righteous here? We're talking about the body of Christ. You and I. There is no how God can go back on his word. No matter the situation that you're going through. Another amazing thing here. Peter realized that he's like, this man. The Bible says Peter fastened his eyes upon this guy. And he said, look on us. What was Peter trying to do there? He was trying to reconstruct this man's focus. To reconfigure this man's focus so that he can have an expectation for his healing. And not to be begging for something. No. That's what he said. Look on us. The Bible says, and when he gave heed unto them, he said, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. At this point, the man's expectation changed. At this point, his focus changed and began to expect his healing. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's what Peter did. If Peter had just gone there and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the man would be like, he wasn't expecting his healing anyway. It's money that he wants. But by the time they did something to his expectation, by the time they did something to his focus, something happened. The man received his healing. Hallelujah. Let's read on that scripture. Psalm 126. You see, because so many people have left the place of prayers disappointed and frustrated. And we think that God is at fault, or God doesn't want to answer, or God answers some people's prayer, but maybe I've done something. So we begin to allow the devil to condemn us or to make us feel guilty. But you see, this is one of it. Psalm 126 from verse 5 to 6. It's a very popular scripture as well. Psalm 126, 5 to 6. Okay. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6. It says, he that goeth forth and weepeth, hallelujah, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He that goeth forth pregnant with desires, he that goeth forth pregnant with expectations. He said, that man, there's no how that man will not return. He says, he will return doubtless, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Come on, be pregnant for expectations. Be pregnant for expectations. That seed is precious. It describes that seed as a precious seed. Be pregnant with expectations. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thirdly, my third point. Now, we already established that. And to your expectation, add thirst. And to your thirst, add hunger. And to hunger, add desire. And then we already established that your prayers will mean nothing if you don't have expectations, if you're not pregnant with something. Now, my third point. Your expectations must be based on the word. I'll say that again. Your expectations must be based on the word. Can we have Romans 4:18 to 20? Your expectations must be based on the word. Romans 4:18 to 20. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, according to what God spoke to him, not according to his feelings, not according to his emotions, not according to what reality is telling us, not according to the situation of the economy. He says, who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to what Jesus, what God told him, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Hallelujah. But when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's own. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God. Your expectations must be based on the word. Your expectations must be based on the word. We are told that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Not the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not because he was old and then Sarah was old. And then, of course, medical science will tell you that she has gone way, 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 way past menopause. He staggered not at the promise of God. His expectations were not based on what the reality was telling him. It was based on what God told him. He said, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21. And being fully persuaded. Again, we see the word of God coming to play here. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, this is God, that what God had promised him, he was also able to perform. Your expectations must be based on the word. It doesn't matter what the devil has told you. It doesn't matter what your boss is telling you in the office. It doesn't matter if maybe you've not made profit in your business for a while. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Abraham, Sarah was way past menopause. Way past it. She was 75, I believe. The Bible says Abraham was fully persuaded that what God, he was only concerned about what God told him. That what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Hallelujah. Your expectations, I say, must be based on the word. You know why? Because God is only confined to his word. God is only confined to his word. God is only committed to his word and nothing else. God is only permitted to walk within the confines of his word, not outside of it. Not our feelings, not our emotions, not our cries. Your expectations must be based on the word. Can we have 1 John 5:14? It says, and this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Do we see that? According to his will, he heareth us. We have confidence that if we ask anything that is in line with the will of God. The will of God is contained in his word. If we ask anything that is based on the word of God. The Bible says he hears us. We are not confident in any other thing. We are only confident in the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's have Isaiah 55 verse 10. I said we're going to open quite a number of scriptures. So permit me. Isaiah 55 verse from verse 10. I want to show us something there. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You see, even our own God, our God, he has an expectation for his own word. He has an expectation for his word. The Bible says, he said that the words that I speak, the words that go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return. That's his expectation for his word. And we have a God that said that he honors his word even more than his name. There is no how God can turn back on his word. Let your expectations be rooted or be anchored on the word. Hallelujah. My fourth point. Your expectations will determine how you posture yourself. Let me read that again. Your expectations would determine how you position yourself. And so you will need to have strong, unwavering expectation. I think internet describes expectations as a strong conviction or as a strong desire that something is going to happen. So your expectation, your position. See, Pastor Ibali says something. That you see, there are people that come to the church. And from their sitting posture, you can determine that these ones, they are not expecting anything. Even when the word of God is coming forth. There are people that come to church and they slouch. Or whatever, maybe they doze off or something. Those ones, you can tell that these ones, they are not expecting anything. You see, but there are some that, there's a way pastor does it. There are some that come to church and their sitting position, you can tell that, these ones, like they have a readiness to receive. They've positioned themselves to receive something so that when the preacher says something, right, they catch it. They're able to grab it immediately. That's what I mean by position. And we're going to read a scripture there. Luke 19:1-5. I actually like that scripture. Luke 19:1-5. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at the house. The scripture tells us about a man, Zacchaeus, who was very short. I don't know, maybe he was a dwarf or something. But he was short. Right? And there is no how that with his expectation of wanting to see Jesus, there was no how Jesus was going to see him where he was. So what did that man do? The Bible says he ran forward, right? And he climbed up to a sycamore tree. He positioned himself just because he wanted his expectations to be accomplished. The Bible says he ran forward. Now, a sycamore tree is quite an, it's quite a height. Yeah, I think it's about 70 to about 100 feet. That's actually quite a height there. But he climbed it. And you see, when Jesus came, Jesus, he didn't even need to call out again. Jesus just said, hey, guy, calm down. That was it. He positioned himself rightly. Position yourself. Don't just enter into the month of prayer and just take the prayers lightly or take the fastings lightly. No, be rightly positioned for the word, for the message that will come, everything that will come forth. Hallelujah. I go to my fifth point. I have here, be desperate. Be desperate. We're still going to read that same scripture, Luke 19, but I'll read the message version. Be desperate. And I dare to say again, to your expectation, add desperation. I just rhymed. To your expectation, add desperation. And all. Be desperate. Now look at message. Message said, then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There was a man there, his name Zacchaeus, the head tax man and quite rich. He wanted, do you see that word desperately? I don't know if media has it. Message version. Message says he wanted desperately. The man didn't just have an expectation, he was also desperate. That Omo, I go, whatever it takes me, I go see Jesus today. And I'm not talking about desperation that will lead us to go and rob a bank. I'm not talking about desperation that will make you do things that are illegal or against the word. I'm talking about, if there's any word like this, I'm talking about a righteous desperation. One that is desperate for Jesus. That's the desperation I'm talking about. He was desperate to see Jesus. And we know what happened. We've read that scripture before. Let's look at another scripture, Mark chapter 2. Now, I like this scripture. Mark chapter 2. I actually like the scripture. Because they did something that was funny. Mark 2 from verse 1. And again he, speaking about Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together. Insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Do you know what these guys did? Now, the room was crowded. The Bible says there was not even space at the door. So, there was no how people could even come in. The place was crowded. But these guys did something very amazing. The Bible says that these guys went to the roof. They didn't just uncover the roof. The Bible says they even broke it. At this point, I would like to say, it's not everybody that comes through your roof that is a thief. Really, not everybody. There are some people that are desperate for something. These ones, they were desperate for their healing. So really, not everyone is it. Not everyone that breaks through the roof is a thief. They must have had a deal with the owner of that house. Oh, guys, this one is important now. We will pay you later. Oh, don't worry, we'll pay. Imagine someone coming to harvest for the assembly and they're coming through the roof. That would be very weird. But you see, these guys were desperate for their healing or for that guy's healing. They broke the roof. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw how desperate these people were. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read another scripture. Luke 18 verse 1. I'm already running out of time. Luke 18 verse 1. Very popular. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was a city, a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after what he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? You see, that faith that is desperate. That faith that is, desperate. That's the word I want to use. that faith that is desperate. This woman was desperate for something. What she was expecting of the judge was to avenge her adversary. And she kept coming. And almost the judge came and said, I beg. This woman, can you wala be going? And Jesus will say that when God will come later, or when I come later, shall I find this kind of faith on the earth? That faith that is perseveres. That faith that is desperate for something, that will not give up. That's what those guys did. They broke through the roof. Some of us will try to be normal and say, okay, I'll wait. Hey, no, this one's now. And that's what that woman kept doing. Hallelujah. I have here my 6 points. That what will be done to you is determined by your expectations. We'll see in different places in scripture where God, Jesus will come across them and say, okay, what do you want me to do for you? And they'll say, Jesus, that son of David, that I may receive my sight. Right? And Jesus will say, be it unto you according to your faith. And at this point, if you have low expectations, please raise them. Please raise them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then also I'd like to say, be focused on God. Man has nothing to offer you. They don't. David was saying, I will look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. And later he would change his gaze. He would change his focus. And he said, no, my help cometh from God, who made heaven and earth. What you need there does not come from the high and mighty of this world or of this nation. It doesn't come from the affluent of this world. It doesn't come from kings, from presidents, or those at the helm of affairs. No, it comes from God. David was looking to the hills and he changed his gaze and he said, no, my help comes from God. Be focused on God. Throughout the month of July, be focused on God. Hallelujah. Now, what are the anchors, as I begin to round off in Pastor Gwenga's words? What are the anchors for expectations? One, find the will of God on that matter. I just have 2 points here. Know the will of God on that matter. See, let me say something. Whatever God has said or pronounced regarding a particular situation in your life, whether written, whether spoken, is God's final verdict over that situation. Find the will of God for that particular matter. The Bible says this is a confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything that is according to His will, He hears us. That is your anchor, the will of God. Find it and stay on it. Build your conviction on it. Build your persuasion on it. Build your expectations on that word, no matter what it is. Just make sure you find it and then settle there. Hallelujah. Also, expect to receive. That's actually what we're even talking about anyway, expectations. Expect to receive from God. As I move, now, some reasons why people have no or low expectations. The reasons why people have no expectations or very low expectations or very weak expectations. One, I have here past experiences. Now, whatever you're going or whatever has been done to you, maybe you were hurt or something, somebody did something and you've not let it go, this is the time to let it go. Because see, it will affect your expectations. It will. To a great extent. It will affect it. The Bible says, he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. It says, behold, all things are become new. God is in the business of doing things. Doing new things. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:18-19, it says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. And it says, behold again. Behold again, I'm doing a new thing. It says, now it shall spring forth. And we even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God is in the business of doing new things. If you're in the past, get away from there. It might not be that easy. But God doesn't dwell in the past. He doesn't. Second point here. I have doubts. See, renew your mind with the word of God. That's all I can say. We saw in, I believe, 2 Kings verse chapter 7. Elisha declared a new season over the economy. He says, by tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, so-and-so will change, so-and-so will change. And there was a guy there that said something. He said, even if God should open windows in heaven, how can these things be? And Elisha told him, he said, see, you have heard this thing, but you will not see it. At the end of that scripture, at the end of 2 Kings 7, we're told that that man died. Do not allow doubts to kill your expectations. That's all I'm saying. See, renew your mind with the word of God. The expectations of the righteous shall be granted. Don't give way to doubts. At all. Renew your mind with the word. The word of God is actually the solution anyway to dispel doubts. Thirdly, traditions. The Bible says that we have made the word of God of none effect because of our traditions. There are people that so much exalt and honor their traditions over the word of God. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, ladies, that in our culture, the junior person cannot marry before the senior person. The senior girl, the senior daughter has to marry first. I've heard things like that. Or I can't buy a car first though. Or to my other brother buys a car. What if God says that's your time?
Thank you.
What if God says that's your time? Tradition. We're told, look at the woman with the issue of blood. That woman is an awesome woman. That woman had an ailment for 12 years. You see, but one thing that she did was that she violated the traditions that came with the law. Because in the law, you would read that if you had leprosy or something, all of those unclean diseases, you were not allowed to mingle with other people. You were probably ostracized or something like that, so that you don't infect them. Carry your wahala outside the city and all that. You see, but the Bible said that this woman thought to herself and said, if I may, but touch the hem of his garment. And she mingled. She went through the crowd. And what happened? She got to Jesus and then she touched it. And then Jesus would look back and say, who touched me? Come on, that was a faith that defied traditions. That was an expectation that defied, that violated traditions. Renew your mind with the word. Now, things that kill expectations, as I round off again. I have impatience here. And Pastor, last week, thank God, talked about impatience. How impatience can abort the plans and the processes of God over a man, and then you have to start again. See, don't give the devil a chance. In this month we're entering into, and even in our lives in general, don't give the devil a chance. Pastor David was telling us about a story last week about Kenneth Hagin. How Kenneth Hagin died in his 80s, I believe. But you see, he was saying that he prayed for a man for 52 years for that man's salvation. 50 plus 2. Not 5 years, not 2 years, 52 years for that man's salvation. If Kenneth Hagin had allowed impatience get in the way, maybe that man would have died and that man would have gone to hell. Nobody knows. The point is, don't allow impatience abort that pregnancy that you have. Don't allow it. Don't allow it. Paul was saying in Galatians, he says, my little children, in whom I travail until Christ be formed in thee. Until. So Paul kept on travailing and travailing and travailing until Christ was formed in these people. He didn't stop. He wasn't in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. God makes everything beautiful in his time, not your time. God makes everything beautiful in his time. For a pregnant woman, it takes 9 months. If the baby comes in the sixth month or in the fifth month, that baby is considered premature. The Bible says in the fullness of time, Christ sent his son. In the fullness of time, he wasn't in a hurry. God wasn't in a hurry. Hallelujah. God wasn't in a hurry. Also, lack of a clear mental picture of what you have. Let me tell us, or give us an example. In Acts chapter 12. The Bible says they took James, they killed him, and they took Peter, right? And what happened? The church there praying and interceding for Peter's deliverance. And God intervened, the angel went and released him and delivered him. And the Bible says that Peter was on his way to a woman's house where we had a group of believers that were praying. Called Mary Mark, I believe. And Peter knocked on the door and a lady came out and opened the door for him. And not of excitement, she went back inside to go and tell the other that, hey, Peter is here. And all that. Now, I'd expect that. You've been praying for this guy. You should expect him to come now. I wouldn't be praying for his deliverance. But what did they say? They said, are you mad? When Peter came. In my mind, I'll rejoice and say, hey, Peter is here. But this one, they were telling the girl, is she mad? They didn't even know what they wanted. So such that when that thing appeared at their door, they so doubted. They didn't even know what they wanted in the first place. They were just praying religiously. But thank God, an angel went to go and save Peter. When you don't have a clear mental picture of what you have, when you are not seeing it before you, when it's not almost tangible before you, it can come in front of you and it can pass you, but you won't be able to grab it. You just lose that opportunity. Know what you want. Know what you want. I have here reckless behavior. I think this is where I would end today. Reckless behavior. See, a woman that is pregnant, there are some things that she cannot try that she could do when she wasn't pregnant. Because now she has her life to take care of and she has another life growing inside of her. There are some things that she can't do. She can't eat anyhow. She can't engage in some funny activities. In the same way, do not, and I'm talking about the prayer month and also in our lives in general, when you are carrying something important, when you are carrying something precious, don't engage in things like arguments. Some of us know how to argue and we want to win the argument by force. Don't engage in quarrel, malice, strife, unforgiveness. The Bible says that, Satan's mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the Bible describes him as a roaring lion, seeking for whom to devour. By the time he sees that there's a loophole, the devil will enter. And then you will lose that seed that you're carrying. Don't engage in any form of reckless attitude or cara or things that can abort that pregnancy. Don't engage in it. Don't give the devil an occasion to hamper your life or to destroy your destiny. Don't. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. But I'd like to tell us two stories before we pray. And before I end, what should you do when you're expecting something? One, stay in fellowship with God. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Like I said earlier, don't be impatient. Don't. Surely your expectations shall be granted. That's what the word of God says. Don't build, stay in fellowship with God. Secondly, give glory to God. Enter into sessions of praise. Can we go back to Romans 4? That scripture we read earlier. It says, who against hope believe in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, and considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise. Look at what Abraham did. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, and he was giving glory to God. When you are expectant, stay in fellowship with God, give glory to God. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. How do you stand therefore? Enter into sessions of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we rise to our feet, two stories. Bishop Odeko was saying something. Two stories here. He was saying something. First of all, there was a man that was ill. Ora Roberts had a crusade somewhere in the U.S. And there was a man that was ill. And no crusades, Ora Roberts, big man of God, mighty man of God, great man of God. So many things happened. There were healings, people were healed, people were delivered, things like that. And nothing happened to this particular man. And then after the crusade, Ora Roberts would go to the healing room. There was a place they called the healing room where they had other people that were, seeking healing. And Ora Roberts would lay hands on them and people were healed. This man was not healed. And then Ora Roberts was leaving. And then this man boldly walked up to him and said, sir, I'm expecting my healing today. Today, not today. I'm expecting my healing today. Bishop was saying that when Ora Roberts turned back, he was shocked. He laid hand on this man and this man was healed. That man was expectant. Second story. Bishop was expecting something from Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory. What was that thing? That whatever made Hagin, that thing must come upon him. There must be a transference of that grace. Bishop Oyedepo will leave Nigeria and travel, right, to Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Kenneth Hagin was having a meeting. Bishop, you know, some of us will go for programs. We say, hi, meet and shake everybody. Bishop said he didn't care who was there. He didn't look to his right. He didn't look to his front. He had a focus. He had an expectation. And, you know, as I was listening to the man of God, Kenneth Hagin was transfigured before him. And he saw Kenneth Hagin's face transfigured to that of a baby, and there was oil just dripping all around him. And at that point, Bishop broke into tears. And he began to cry. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit will tap him and say, my son, get up, for the baton has been passed on to you. He had an expectation. He was desperate. He was hungry. He was desirous. He was thirsty. He was focused. Hallelujah. Can we begin to pray this morning and say, Lord, raise my expectations. Lord, raise my expectations. Lord, raise my expectations. Rakabo shakata. Lord, raise my expectations. Libra gadoshia. Lord, raise my expectations. Ha ha. Oh, malakoko rebele degede. Limando siya ka. Zibredo soto brekete. Lord, raise my expectations. Lenemusha. Lebrano koshikatalia. Rende menegedosia. Rago bosuklian de ribonose. Lord, raise my expectations. Andolo mokete legade. Rebeleketo rabaladakaba. Hino tukubazile regedevosia. Rabalagada.